Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Boxing tonight comes from the Empire Pool, Wembley, and features the main heavyweight bout between Jack Burdell, British and Empire heavyweight champion, and Sir Kenneth Clark. It's the first time these two have met, so there should be some real action tonight.
This, then, is the height of the English Renaissance. The triumph of classical over Gothic.
He's down! Sir Kenneth Clark is down in 8 seconds! But he's up again, he's up at six.
Almost order facade of Palladio's villa.
And he's down again, and I don't think he's going to get up this time. No! So, Jack Burdell has defeated Sir Kenneth Clark in the very first round here tonight. And so this big Lincolnshire heavyweight becomes the new Oxford Professor of Fine Art.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now...
Monty Python's Flying Circuses.
Drop that gun!
Let that be a warning to you all. You move at your peril, for I have two pistols here. I know one of them isn't loaded anymore, but the other one is, so that's one of you dead for sure. Well, just about for sure, anyway. It certainly wouldn't be worth your while risking it, because I'm a very good shot. I practice every day. Well, not absolutely every day, but most days in the week. I expect I must practice 4 or 5 times a week, at least. At least 4 or 5. Only some weekends, like last weekend, there wasn't much time, so that brings the average down a bit. But I should say it's definitely a solid 4 days' practice every week. At least. I mean, I reckon I could hit that tree over there, the one behind the hillock. Not the big hillock, the little hillock on the left. You see the three trees? The third from the left and back a bit, that one, I reckon I could hit that 4 times out of 5. On a good day. Say, with this wind, say 7 times out of 10.
Oh, that tree there?
Which one?
The big beech with a sort of bare branch coming out of the top left.
No, no, not that one.
No, he means the one over there. Look, do you see that one there?
Yeah.
Well, now go two along to the right.
Just near that little bush.
Well, it's the one just behind it.
Oh, the elm.
Oh, that's not an elm. An elm's got sort of great clumps of leaves like that. That's either a beech or a hornbeam.
A hornbeam?
No, not a hornbeam. What's the tree that has a leaf with sort of regular veins coming out, and the veins go all the way out to the...
Serrated
edges.
A willow.
Well, that's right.
That's nothing like a willow.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I could hit it 7 times out of 10. That's the point.
Never a willow.
Shut up! It was a hold-up, not a botany lesson. Right now, my fine friends, no false moves, please. I want you to hand over all the lupins you've got.
Lupins?
Yes, lupins. Come on, come on.
What do you mean, lupins?
Don't try and play for time.
I'm not. You mean the flower lupins?
That's right.
Well, we haven't got any lupins.
Honestly?
Look, my fine friends, I happen to know that this is the Lupin Express.
You must be out of your tiny mind.
Get out the coach. Come on, get out! J. Just as I thought. Not clever enough, my fine friends. Come on, Concord.
Well, so much for the Lupins.
Dennis Moore, galloping through the sward. Dennis Moore, and his horse Concord. He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. Mr. Moore, Mr.
Here we
Moore.
Are. I'll be back.
Mr. Moore.
Oh, I don't know what's good about it. My right arm's hanging off something awful.
Oh, you can have that seen to.
What, by that Dr. Morrison? He's killed more patients than I've had severe boils.
What did the star say?
Well, Petula Clark says burst them early. But David Frost...
Now, the star's in the paper, you cloth-eared heap of Antetus Qatar. Zodiacal signs, the horoscopic fates, the astrological portents. The omens, the Gnethliac prognostications, the mantological harbingers, the vaticinal utterances, the fatidical premonitory utterances of the mantological omens. What do the bleeding stars in the paper predict? Forecast, prophesy, foretell, prophesy,
foretell,
augur, spell, foretoken, presage, foretain, foreshow, foreshadow, forerun, herald, point to, betoken. Indicate.
I don't know. Well, what are you?
A Nesbit. There's not a zodiacal sign called Nesbit.
All right, Derian Toms.
Aquarius, Scorpio, Virgo, Derian Toms. April the 29th to March the 22nd. Even dates only.
Well, what does it presage?
You have green, scaly skin and a soft yellow underbelly with a series of fin-like ridges running down your spine and tail. Although lizard-like in shape, you can grow anything up to 30 feet in length with huge teeth that can bite off great rocks and trees. You inhabit arid subtropical zones and wear spectacles.
Mm, very good about the spectacles.
It's amazing.
Mm. What's yours, Irene?
Basil.
I'm sorry, what's yours, Basil?
No, that's my star sign, Basil.
There isn't a star
yes,
sign.
Yes, there is. Aquarius, Sagittarius, Derian Toms, Basil.
Oh.
June the 21st till June the 22nd.
Well, what does it say?
You have green scaly skin and a series of yellow underbellies running down your spine.
That's exactly the same.
Try another one. What's Aquarius?
It's a zodiacal sign.
I know that. What's it say in the paper, Mrs. Flannan Pickle?
Well, all right. Oh, it says, a wonderful day ahead. You'll be surrounded by family and friends. Roger Moore will drop in for lunch, bringing Tony Curtis with him. In the afternoon, a substantial cash sum will come your way. In the evening, Petula Clark will visit your home, accompanied by the Mike Psalm singers. She will sing for you in your own living room. Before you go to bed, Peter Wingard will come and declare his undying love for you.
Yeah! What's Scorpio?
Oh, that's very good. You will have lunch with a school friend of Duane Eddy's, who will insist on whistling some of Duane's greatest instrumental hits. In the afternoon, you will die. You'll be
good
married.
Morning.
Oh, morning, Doctor.
And how's the old arm this morning, Mrs. Icon?
Oh, it's still hanging off at the shoulder.
Good. Well, let's have a look at it, shall we? Damn this wretched little bag. Damn this wretched bloody little bag. There's one thing I hate about being a doctor. It's this wretched bloody little bag. Oh, damn this wretched bloody little bag. Damn you, wretched little bag!
Right. What's that doing in here?
All right.
Oh, well. Hand over the money. Come on, all of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that seems to be okay. I'll just test your reflexes.
Everything seems to be okay. I'll see you next week. I keep collecting the pensions and try not to spend too much on food.
Thank you, Doctor.
Morning, Miss Hanson. How are you today?
Not too bad, Doctor.
Okay, take it easy. Expecting any postal orders this week?
No.
Righto. Ah, Mr. Rogers, have you got your unemployment benefits, please? Right, well, can you write me a cheque then, please? Thank you very much. Soon have you down to nothing. Ah, Mr. Millichope.
Mr. Spew, I'm afraid you lose both the three-piece suite and your youngest daughter.
Should there be another television channel, or should there not? On tonight's programme, the Minister for Broadcasting, the Right Honourable Mr. Ian Throat, MP.
Good evening.
The Chairman of Amalgamated Money TV, Sir Abe Sappenheim.
Good evening.
The Shadow Spokesman for Television, Lord Kinwoody.
Hello.
And a television critic, Mr. Patrick Loon.
Hello.
Gentlemen, should there be a fourth television channel or not? Ian.
Yes.
Francis.
Nope.
Sir Abe.
Yes.
Patrick.
No.
Well, there you have it. Two say well, two say well. We'll be back again next week, and next week's great debate will be about government interference in broadcasting and will be cancelled mysteriously.
Just starting on BBC One now, Victoria Regina, the inspiring tale of the simple crofter's daughter who worked her way up to become Queen of England and Empress of the greatest empire television has ever seen. On BBC Two now, Episode 3 of Paul the First, a new 116-part serial about the famous English king who hasn't been done yet. On ITV now, the...
Absolutely delightful. But of course, no shirt. Just everyone. Ah, this is my Lord of Buckingham. Pray welcome your place.
Thank you, Grantley.
Ladies, may I introduce to you the man who prophesied that a German monarch would soon embroil this country in continental affairs?
Oh, how soon?
my lord.
Madam, you recall that prior to his accession, our gracious sovereign George had become involved in the long-standing Northern War through his claim to Bremen and Verdun. These duchies would provide an outlet to the sea of the utmost value to Hanover. The Treaty of Westphalia has assigned them to Sweden.
In 1648.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Frederick William of Denmark, taking advantage of the absence of Charles XII, seized them. 1712.
Oh, yes. It all falls into place. More wine.
Oh, thank you.
However, just prior to his accession, George had made an alliance with Frederick William of Prussia on the grounds of party feeling.
While Frederick William had married George's only daughter.
I remember the wedding.
But chiefly through concern for concerted action against Charles XII.
Stand and deliver.
Dennis Moore.
For say. And now, my lords, my ladies, your lupins, please.
Oh, what?
Come, don't play games with me, my lord of Buckingham.
What can you mean?
Your life or your lupins, my lord? In a bunch. Thank you, my friend. And now, a good evening to you all.
He seeks them here. He seeks them there. He seeks those lupins everywhere.
The murdering blackguard. He's taken all our lupins.
Not quite.
Oh! You tricked him!
We still have one!
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, riding through the night. Soon every lupin in the land will be in his mighty hand. He steals them from the rich and gives them to the poor. Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore.
Try to eat some, my dear. It will give you strength. Oh, Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore, she's going fast.
Don't worry, I've brought you something.
Medicine at last?
No.
Food?
No.
Some blankets, perhaps. Mm. Clothes? Wood for the fire?
No.
Lupins!
Oh, Christ!
Don't you like them?
I'm sick to bloody death of them! She's bloody dying, and all you bring us is lupins. All we've eaten, mate, for the last four bleeding weeks is lupin soup, roast lupin, steamed lupin, braised lupin in lupin sauce, lupin in a basket with sautéed lupins, lupin meringue pie, lupin sorbet. We sit on lupins, we sleep in lupins, we feed the cat on lupins, we burn lupins, we even wear the bloody thing.
Looks very smart.
Oh, shut up! We're sick to death with the stench of them! Look! The cat's just choked itself to death on them! I don't care if I never see another lupin till the day I die! Why don't you go out and steal something useful?
Well, like what?
Like gold and silver and clothes and wood and jewels.
Hang on, I'll get a piece of paper.
Dennis Moore, dum-dum-dum-the-night. Dennis Moore, dum-dum-dum-the-fight. He's still dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
This, coupled with the presence of Peter and his Prussians in Mecklenburg, and Charles and his Swedes in Pomerania, made George and Stanhope eager to come to terms with France.
Meanwhile, a breach had opened with a... Oh, no, not again.
Oh, come
on.
Stand
and deliver again. Your money, your jewellery, your... Hang on. Your clothes, your snuff, your ornaments, your glassware, your pussycats.
Don't say anything about the lupin.
Your watches, your lace, your spittoon.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, riding through the woods. Dennis Moore, with a bag of things. He gives to the poor and he takes from the rich. Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore.
Here we are.
Dennis Moore.
Well, it may be the end of that, but it's certainly far from the end of... Well, in fact, it's the beginning. Well, not quite the beginning. Well,
certainly nearer the beginning. Well, yes, damn it, it is to all intents and purposes the beginning of this year's Ideal Loon exhibition, sponsored by the Daily Express. Numbskulls and boobies from all over the country have been arriving to go through their strange paces before a large paying crowd. This is the 15th Ideal Loon exhibition, and we took a good look round after it was opened by its patron. Here's Kevin Brooks, the digger duffer from Down Under, who's ranked 14th in the World Silly Positions League. This kind of incoherent behaviour is really beginning to catch on Down Under. There's Norman Kirby from New Zealand, whose speciality is standing behind a screen with a lady with no clothes on. In real life, Norman is a gynecologist, but this is his lunch hour. And from France, there's a superb exhibition of rather silly behaviour by the friends of the Free French Osteopaths. They do this over 400 times a day. Nobody knows why. But for sheer pointless behaviour, you've got to admire Brian Broomus, the battling British boy who for 2 weeks has been suspended over a tin of condemned veal. Always popular with the crowd is the Scotsman with Nay True's exhibit. And this year's no exception. Sponsored by National Gas and Glasgow City Council, this exhibit is entirely supported by voluntary contributions. For a magnificent waste of time, you've got to go no further than the exhibit from Italy. Italian priests in custard discussing vital matters of the day. These lads from a seminary near Cremona have been practicing for well over a year. As always, one of the great attractions of this 14-day exhibition is the display of countermarching given by the mast pipes and toilet requisites of the Carlin Bay Mast Pipes and Toilet Requisites Club. An interesting point about these boys is they all have one thing in common: hip injuries. Not far away, the crowds are flocking to see a member of the famous Royal Canadian Mounted Geese. But the climax of the whole event is the judging.
Mr. Justice Burke. Well, that's the last, and let's just see those last six once again. And the winner is number 41, Mr. Justice Burke.
Attention, attention. A suspect heading due north. A plan 13A is now in effect.
Can so disseminate men's eyes that fortune, straining at a kissing touch, may super ceaseless search to sport amidst the rampant thrust of time, and bring the thing undone to pass by that with which the cock may chance an arm.
Well, that's all very well, sir, but this is an off-license.
Just a bottle of sherry, then, please.
Certainly. Amontillado?
Yes, I think Amontillado. Mm-hmm. Finely grown, well chosen from the cask of Pluto's hills, cell deep within the vineyard soil of Spain, wrenched thence from fiery regions of the sun.
Yes, yes, just one bottle?
Just one bottle. Just one jot. Just one tittle. That's a lot.
There we are, sir. That'll be a pound, please.
A pound, and all around, abound, a pound, found, found. Lost, lost the cost, still washed, embossed,
yes,
and...
excuse me, sir.
Yes, good victualler. Nature's trenchantman, mine honest tapster.
I was just wondering, are you a poet?
No, I'm a solicitor.
Solicitor?
Well versed within the written law of man, who can to those who need...
Oh, shut up.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I've caught poetry.
Oh, really? Oh, well, don't worry, sir. I used to suffer from short stories.
Really? When?
Oh, once upon a time. I lived in Wiltshire, a young chap called Dennis Moore. Now, Dennis was a highwayman by profession, and for several months he'd been stealing from the rich to give to the poor. One day...
Here we are again.
Mr. Jenkins! There we are. I'll be back.
Meanwhile, Frederick William, busily engaged in defending against the three great powers the province of Silesia, which had seized in the War of Austrian Succession against it, were...
Yes, I remember.
...was now dependent on...
My lords, my ladies, on your feet, please. I must ask you to do exactly as I say, or I shall be forced to shoot you right between the eyes. Well, not right between the eyes. I mean, I say between the eyes, obviously I don't have to be that accurate. I mean, if I hit you in that sort of area like that, obviously that's all right for me. I mean, I don't have to try and sort of hit a point bisecting a line drawn between your pupils or anything like that. I mean, from my point of view, it's perfectly satisfactory.
What do you want? Why are you here?
Well, why are any of us here? I mean, when you get down to it, it's all so meaningless. What do any of us want?
No, no, what do you want now?
Oh, I see. Oh, just the usual things, a little place of my own, the right girl.
No. What do you want from us?
Oh, your gold, your silver, your jewellery.
You've taken it all.
This is all we've got left.
That's nice. I'll have them. Come on.
You better take the bloody lupin, too.
Thank you very much. I've gone through that stage.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, etc., etc.
What you got for us today, then?
Well, I managed to find you four very nice silver spoons, Mr. Jenkins.
Who do you think you are, giving us poor this rubbish?
Bloody silver! What have you in the house? And those candlesticks you got us last week were only 16 carat?
Yeah, why don't you go out and steal something nice? Like some Venetian silver.
Yeah, or Velasquez for the outside loo.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, riding through the land. Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, without a merry band. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. Stupid bitch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich.
Wait a tick. Blimey, this redistribution of wealth is trickier than I thought.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Prejudice, the show that gives you a chance to have a go at wops, krauts, snigs, itis, jippos, bubbles, froggies, chinks, yids, jocks, polacks, paddies, and dagos. Tonight's show comes live from the tiny village of Rabid in Buckinghamshire. And our first question tonight is from Mrs. Elizabeth Scrint, who says she is going on a Mediterranean cruise next week and can't find anything wrong with the Syrians. Well, Mrs. Scrint, apart from being totally unprincipled left-wing troublemakers, the Syrians are also born skivers. They're dirty, smelly and untrustworthy, and of course they're friends of the awful gibbos. Well, there you are, Mrs. Scrint. Hope that answers some of your problems. Have a nice trip. Well, now the result of last week's competition, when we asked you to find a derogatory term for the Belgians. Well, the response was enormous, and we took quite a long time sorting out the winners. There were some very clever entries, and Mrs. Hatred of Leicester said, let's not call them anything, let's just ignore them. And a Mr. Singen of Huntingdon said he couldn't think of anything more derogatory than Belgians. But in the end, we settled on three choices. Number three, the sprouts, sent in by Mrs. Vicious of Hastings. Very nice. Number two, the phlegms, from Mrs. Charles Molester of Worthing. But the winner was undoubtedly from Mrs. No Supper for You from Norwood in Lancashire, miserable fat Belgian bastards. Very good, very good. Thank you, Carol. But as you know, on this programme, we're not just prejudiced against race or colour. We're also prejudiced against, yes, you've guessed, stinking homosexuals! So before the streets start emptying in Chelsea tonight, let's go straight over to our popular prejudice panel game and invite you once again to Shoot the Puff! And could our first contestant sign in, please?
Our first contestant is a hairdresser from...
Oh, I never did like that kind of person.
Gentlemen, ladies, bring out your valuables, please. Come along, sir, come along. Come along, madam. Now, is that all you've got?
Yes.
Well, he's got much more than you, so you better have some of his. Oh, sorry. Pick him up in a moment. There's about, nine down there, so you must have about... Oh, well, he's still got lots... You've got what? You've got more than he started with, so if I give you some of those... Well, now, look, if I give you that... Have you got a bit of jewellery? Yes, if I give you that one, and you have some of his coins... Is that another box? Were you trying to hide it? Well, that's nice. Right. Now, I've got a tiara. You've got one, you've got one. You've got one in the box, you've got one. Anyone else got a tiara? Take your hat off. Oh, honestly, it's absolutely pointless trying to do this if you're going to cheat. It really is awful on you.
I thought you should have won. I mean, judicially, you swept the board. All right, he had posture. But where was in the summing up?
Oh, shut up, Melford! There's always next year!